Yes. Yes. Guys, we have to keep it up. Eh? We've got to go to the gym and do what we need to do. Yeah? I have 3 children. My first child is 17 years old. Yes. Yes, hallelujah. It's possible. My second child is turning 10, 15, going to 16. And my third child is 7 years old. So give praise to the Lord for what he has done and what he continues to do. So in this session, we're going to talk about the changing seasons of life. How many have gone through some season? You know what? I was asking my husband, I was like, how many seasons do we have in Zambia? And we kept going back and forth until we had to Google. So I don't know if you remember your geography, but I'll ask this question to you guys. How many seasons do we have in Zambia? There we go. How many? How many are for 4? 4. Be confident. Choose one. How many are for 3? Okay. How many are for 2? 2. Okay. So apparently, when I Googled, there are 2 seasons. That's Google. I don't know if it's correct. I don't know, but yeah. And my favorite season is in March, because I was born in March and I call it, you know, spring. I love it when the rains are over. They've said their byes. And then there's that nice kasan, you know, you go outside, you just sit in the sun. And it's not really hot, but you can sleep in the sun. If you remember a long time ago, they actually put the mpasa outside. You have the breakfast and then you just lay in the sun. That's March. So just like seasons of the weather, we have seasons of life. And life really takes us through seasons. And so that's our subject for this session. But our topic for this session is, where are you? Where are you in the season of life? Where are you in the season of life? And that's what we want to find out. Where are you? Because if you do not know where you are, it's difficult to get to where you need to get to. So I'll give you an example of that. We traveled one time with my family. Well, we took a road trip. We're going to South Africa and we used Zimbabwe. And when we got to Harare, we have a friend that told us, when you get to Harare, just along the main road, she gave us her house number and she said, you can come to our house and I'll show you how to get to Belt Bridge Road. So we got to Harare quite late and it was difficult to find the house number and we didn't have the phone number for Zimbabwe to call her. So we really got lost and it was dark and we were lost in Harare. And it took us like 2 hours to navigate to get back to her house. At some point, we were like, oh, should we just, you know, find the route to go to Belt Bridge? But it was really difficult because if you have been to Harare in the dark right now, at this point, there's a lot of load shedding and it's really, really dark. The street lights are not working and it was hard. So we had to, you know, keep asking people where this road is until we found her house. But it was 2 hours later. And we were just nearby. But just to get to the house was really, really hard. And we had to know, for us to get to her house, we had to know where we were first. But we didn't know. We didn't know. We just knew it was along the main street. But we didn't know where we were. And it was difficult because we asked people and people would tell us, but where? But where? But where? And we didn't know where we were. So by God's grace, we found our way. So to start us out with, let's go to Genesis 3, verse 8 to 9. Amen. All right, let's read this scripture. The Bible says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you? Where are you?'" And I'm sure if you've read this scripture, you know what had happened at this point to Adam and Eve. They had fallen from God's grace. They had eaten the forbidden fruit. And they had just found out that they were naked. And in the cool of the day, when God would usually come, you know, God is spirit. And of course, he came in his spirit form. And he knew where they were. But he asked them a question. He asked them, "Where are you?" Now, this question was not for God. Because God is all-knowing, right? So God would ask them the question, but he knew what had happened already. Now, he asked them this question because he wanted Adam and Eve to know where they were. Were they aware that they had fallen from his grace? Did they actually know where they were? And we know their response, right? Did they know where they were at this point? Well, they knew something was wrong. They knew that something wasn't right. But this question, again, was for Adam and Eve and not for God. And today I'm going to ask you this question. Where are you in your life? Where are you in the season of your life? Do you know where you are? Because if you don't know where you are, it will be very difficult for you to move from where you are to the ideal. It will be very, very difficult. So we need to know where we are in order to know where we're going. Amen. And to do that, I'm going to give us two ways to know where we are. And the first way that we're going to look at is the stages of life. The stages of life. Because there are stages in life. And the second way that we're going to look at is the seasons of life. All of us at somewhere at a stage in life. We're at a stage in life right now. Okay? And it's important that we know where we are. What stage of life are you at? And to help us do that, we are going to look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, and I'm going to read from the NIV. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 says, this is Paul writing, and he says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways." I put the ways of childhood behind me. Now this scripture, it does not look at the age. It looks at the mental and the spiritual state. It's looking at the mental and spiritual state. Because, let's see, do I have it here? Oh, there we go. is looking at the mental and the spiritual state. Because Paul, at this point, when he was writing this scripture, he was old. He was an old man. He was an older man, maybe in the 40s like me. And he's saying that at this point, he had put away childish things. And that he was now embracing adulthood. So we see from this scripture that Paul is saying that once upon a time he was a child. Which is okay, because we all go through childhood, right? And then after childhood, we expect adulthood to come around. And that's where most of us should be. Not just in age, but mentally and spiritually. We need to grow, right? And so, again, we're talking about the stages of life, okay? These will help us locate where we are. And as we go through the stages of life, I'd like for you to introspect, to find yourself. Where am I? And when you find where you are, I'd like for you to be truthful with yourself and decide to grow from that stage, wherever that stage is. Okay? So we're going to look at childhood, and then we're going to look at adulthood. Okay? We're going to look at childhood, and then we're going to look at adulthood. How do these two look? Okay? Now, Paul also tells us three ways in which to identify childhood and adulthood. In this scripture, he tells us that he put away childlike behavior, and he identifies that through three stages. Through language, through thinking, and reasoning. He says, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. Okay, so these are the three ways that you can tell who's a child and who's an adult. Now, in the auditorium, Pastor Sarah was talking about taking responsibility and being all grown up, growing up. So how can we tell who a child is? Through their language. How does a child speak? How does a child speak? Okay? So to determine childhood, a child will always say, I need help. A child will never take responsibility. They'll always say, I need help. Or when they are down, they'll always say, I need someone to encourage me. I need someone to lift me up. I need someone to help me out of my situation. I need someone. They never take responsibility. They always need someone to help them out of their situation. If you're that person who is always looking for someone to help you out of a situation and never taking responsibility, it's a childlike behavior, childlike mind. You have not yet matured. You are still a child. And I know we have people around us who we can point at and say, that friend of mine is still childlike, because they never take responsibility over their lives. They're thinking, I do not have the ability to do this task. This is how they think. They are not able to. My 7-year-old is always blaming me for their anger, for everything. No, mom, you caused this. You caused me to get angry. You caused me. Last night, actually, his dad told him that he can use his phone, but after a few hours, he should bring it back. After 20 minutes, he should bring it back. And if he doesn't bring it back, the dad won't give him the phone again. And he came to me and he said, Mom, did you hear what Dad said? I said, yes. And he said, well, you need to remind me when it's 20 minutes. Because if you don't, it's going to be your fault that I never get the phone again. And I was like, where do I come in your agreements here? But he's a child, right? And he doesn't want to take responsibility over him overusing the phone. He doesn't want to take that responsibility and he wants to blame it on me, right? So this is how children think. And we have adult people walking around in adult bodies with childlike minds, with childlike mentality. Their reasoning is, I'm here in my life because someone did not help me. It's their fault. They had money to take me to this school, but they didn't. And now I am where I am. It's their fault. It's them. It's not me. It's them. How many people say that? How many people blame other people for where you are in life? It's not me. You see that auntie of mine, she works hard, she has money. Okay, you know when people work hard and they have a nice car and they have a nice house, it always looks like they have money laying around and they are supposed to help you, right? When you come and say, oh, I passed and now I'm supposed to go to grade whatever, 8 and something like that, it's their responsibility, and if they don't, you blame them the rest of your life because they didn't. Right? That's a childlike mind. Things happen to all of us. But when should we take responsibility over our own life? We have that chance to do that. Amen. We have that chance. So you are at a childhood stage of life if your language, thinking, and reasoning are not to take responsibility of your life. You're always looking for someone to help you out of your problems. Now you may be old in age, but in attitude, be a child. And again, a childhood stage is not a bad stage because we all go through that stage. But it is worrying when you're not outgrowing the childhood stage. When you're still there in the mentality of a child. You're 30 years old and you invite me for a tea party and I'm thinking I'm going for a tea party. I find you with Barbies. It's worrying, right? Let's look at an adult. An adult, how an adult thinks, how an adult speaks, how an adult reasons. So an adult's language is, I need to do exploits. Make full use of my life. That's an adult. I need to overcome obstacles. Things that hinder your progress. You need to overcome those things. You're not putting it on another person, but your language is, I need to achieve my goals. Because an adult, you have goals that you need to achieve. You plan. You think about, how is this year going to pan out? You design your life as an adult. You do the things that you're supposed to do in order for you to be successful. That's an adult, right? An adult's thinking is, I'm able to do this if I put my mind to it. Nothing is impossible with an adult. At least try. That's what adults do. I'm responsible for my life, so I need to design it. That's how an adult thinks. I need to design my own life. How my life turns out is my responsibility. It's not anybody else's responsibility. It's my responsibility. And as an adult, I'm taking over my life. I'm more than a conqueror. That's an adult. I need to live my life successfully. That's an adult. I take responsibility over my life. So an adult is not looking for someone to help you out of your problems. Rather, you are looking for opportunities to solve challenges, to maximize your life, because an adult is a self-starter. An adult starts things. An adult plans. An adult knows what they want to achieve in life. They are not blaming it on the next person. They know it's their responsibility. And they do it. There's no excuse. Whether it's hard, they do it. Because you are an adult. Amen, women.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, like I said, I want us to introspect. I want us to introspect as we're going through this. Now, take us a little bit off note. And this is to the married women. How many married women do we have here? Praise the Lord. Now, usually with married women, you find that when we get married, we forget that our lives, we're responsible over our own lives. We surrender our adulthood to our husbands. I don't know what happens. We suddenly surrender our purpose. We surrender our walk with the Lord. We surrender everything that we are to our husbands. And we expect them to think for us. We expect them to just take over our lives and make it beautiful. If you need to go to school, we don't want to think that I need to go to school right now. We just give up our lives and we stop taking responsibility. Now, one thing I'll tell you is that as a couple, you have a purpose, a couple purpose that God has given you. But you also have unique purposes. And don't lose that. Don't lose it. Becoming one doesn't mean that you lose who you are. You lose your uniqueness. It doesn't mean that. Becoming one means becoming one in mind, in decision making, in everything, how you raise the children, how you do everything together as one. But it doesn't mean that you lose who you are. And I've seen a lot of women who get married, and I always tell the, because I'm in premarital, and I always tell the young girls, I'm like, don't lose yourself. Know who you are in Christ. And know that He has given you a purpose. And that you need to grow. You need to have a growth plan for yourself. Don't lose yourself. And one day when you're 40, you realize, oh, I didn't actually invest in my purpose. Then you start looking for yourself. And that's too late. It's never too late anyway. But you know, you could have done more if you had not lost yourself. Amen. All right, now the second way to locate where we are, I hope this has helped us. Find yourself in the stages of life and decide to grow. If you're in the childhood stage, it's not bad. Thank God you came today and you found out that you're in a childhood stage. And it is time to do what? To grow. It's time to grow. It's time to grow, women. It's time to grow from not taking responsibility to taking responsibility. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at the seasons of life. These two are going to come together as we go along, because your stage of life will affect how you reason in your season of life. Your stage of life will affect how you reason in your season of life. And we're going to see how that happens. Amen. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. We're now looking at the seasons of life. Okay? The Bible says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Ecclesiastes says it so well. Now, one of the ways to know you're living life well is to pay attention to the season you're in and to maximize the opportunities you have then and to know when the season is changing. I'll say that again. One of the ways to know that you are living life well is to pay attention to the season you are in and to maximize the opportunities you have then and to know when the season is changing. Our seasons are changing all the time. All the time. But do we know what season we're in right now? And are we maximizing in that season? Are we taking advantage of the opportunities that are in that season? Or are we kicking and screaming in that season? So seasons help us to know what time it is. If it's time to plant, we know, and there are indicators when it's time to for planting season, right? We know it's October, and we know that the rainy season is prepping to come, and we know that the planting season is about to come. And what does a good farmer do? They prepare the ground. They know that the planting season is coming. They prepare the ground, and when the first rains come, they have their seed ready. They'll plant the seed, right? That's a good farmer. If you follow the usual rainy season, maize season and whatnot. Now, when you know that this is a planting season, you know where you need to be. You know you need to be out there, garden. You need to go kumunda. I used to go with my mom. We used to have a land somewhere and would go October, rainy season, you start preparing the ground, have your maize, sort them out, and when it's time to plant the seed, you go with her and you start planting. And then she would make the holes, and then behind her we'll be throwing the seed in the little holes. So knowing what season we're in will help us fare well in that season. Knowing what season we're in will help us fare well in that season. When summer comes, you don't wear your swim, you don't wear your coat, right? Because if you do, you know you're gonna be too hot. When winter comes, you don't go swimming unless you're practicing for a marathon or something like that. But we know, we always check the seasons. We always know what to wear. We knew today was going to be hot and we dressed appropriately, right? So it's important also to know the seasons in our lives. Because when we don't know, it affects how we fare in that season. And not only will it affect how we fare in that season, it will affect how we fare in the next season. It has a ripple effect. It will affect how you fare in the next season because you have not known what season you are in right now. Now, I'll put this out there early, is that the goodness of seasons is that they are not permanent, but rather they are cyclical. That means they come around again and again and again. So if you missed the planting season this year, you have an opportunity next year. That's the goodness with seasons, right? So they give us an opportunity all the time. So now let's look at three components that will help us fare well during the seasons of our lives. And we're going to look at transition, because there's always a transitioning to the next season. We're going to look at embracing the season, and we're going to look at prayer. It's important to know when the season is transitioning in your life. Very, very key. Failure to know that, you will kick and scream and not embrace what that season is saying. So let's look at transitioning. And in transitioning, we're going to look at 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32. I'm going to read from the NIV. From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. Now, I'll give you a backstory to this because this is just very brief. It just talks about them knowing the season. This was a time when Saul was now no longer going to be king. David was anointed to be king at that point. And so the children of Issachar, these children of Issachar were part of the Israelites' tribes. So these men and women, they knew the time. They knew that this is not the time to be with Saul. It is the time to be with David. Because David now is going to be the king. They knew the time. And you know what they did? They positioned themselves correctly. They knew that, okay, right now it's changing. The king is changing. It's no longer Saul. It's now David. They knew. And they knew where they needed to be. They understood the time. And they went to be with David. Okay, so David was being anointed as king and they joined him. And the other thing that they did was that they told their children about the transition that was happening at that time. Okay, now in our lives, whenever there's a transition happening, when there's a transition happening, you find that we first have to understand what that transition means to the family or to yourself. And then after you understand what that transition means, then you tell it to your children, if you have a family. You tell it to your children, this is what is happening in our family, and this is what we ought to be doing right now. So these men and women understood that, and they communicated to their tribe. They communicated that the time is changing. The time is changing. We're transitioning. We're going into a new era. And this new era is that David is going to be the king. So when you know the season and the time is changing in your life, you need to know what you need to be doing at that time. So if life is measured in terms of time, then time wasted is life abused. Why do I say that? I'll say that again for those that are writing. If life is measured in terms of time, then time wasted is life abused. Time wasted is life abused. Because you want to be doing what you ought to be doing in the time that you need to do it. You don't want to waste your time. You want to do what you ought to be doing. Let's say in your family right now, there's a transition happening. And the transition could be that you've decided that you're going to be building a house. And that means that you need to relocate your finances to building, right? And it means that you're going to shift some things. If you used to take heavy, nice lunches with the family, it might mean in that season that you need to stop because you need to relocate your finances. It means that now your focus is on building. You've told your children that we're transitioning right now. We're no longer going to be going for expensive holidays. But right now our budget is tight. We need to relocate this money in order for us to build. And you focus. And you do that in that season, right? And maybe some of you are in that season right now where you need to actually, you know, relocate your finances for something. Or it could be that you're in a season where you're thinking, I need to go back to school. I need to go back to school to get my master's. I need to go back to school to get my degree. You never finish your degree. It's time now to go back and do that. And it will require that you change certain things. It will require that you focus. It will require that in that transition, you begin to focus on you being focusing your finances into the the degree that you want to get or the master that you want to get, right? So you're not spending your money anyhow. Or it could be that you're in a season where you've been married, you just got married, and you don't understand what you got yourself into. But now, now you need to get knowledge. Because the honeymoon phase is over, right? Because it comes to an end at some point. And now, the reality is that you need to engage yourself into getting knowledge. Not to run away from the where you got yourself in, but now to get knowledge. How do I manage this new life? Maybe you need to sign up for some courses or buy books or find places where you need to get knowledge. We don't run away from the marriage. We stay there. We just get knowledge in how to manage it, right? Maybe it's that season right now. And there are indicators for you to know what season you're in. It's not like you're just going to be blind. I don't know what season I'm in, I'm transitioning into. There are indicators to know what season you're getting into. And because there are indicators, your attitude has to be right. You have to have a right attitude when you're getting into a particular season. When you fight it, it won't go smoothly. But you have to know the indicators and you need to have the right attitude. And you need to focus. You need to be willing to submit to the process of transition. Now, when moving from one state to another state, there are things that you will need to recognize so that you do not fight the transition. Now, I'll give you an example of a pregnant woman. I know most of us know about pregnancy. Some of you have gone through it. Some haven't gone through it. Now, a pregnant woman after 9 months, when the child is about to come, there are indicators that now the child is about to come. First of all, you know that my mother, when I was pregnant with my first daughter, my mother told me, you're almost due, It's almost near the days. And how she knew that was because the pregnancy had moved down. And then she said, mulipafupi. And the other indicator for me was, because the whole 9 months you are dry down there, it's completely dry, it's wonderful. And then, it's just nice and dry, you know. And then one day you just have these slippery things coming. And then, you know, I was shocked, but then I asked my mom, she said, no, it's coming now, you are there. It's an indicator that you are transitioning into labor. Okay? And some women, it's just, the water just pops right there. Psh, and they know, it's time now. Tien, hospital. It's time. You know? So, even as you are transitioning into whatever season that you're transitioning in, there are indicators. You yourself will know what that means in your season. You will know that right now, I've lost a job. And it's indicating that the lifestyle I was living before, I need to change. It's indicators. And it now is asking of you to say, what are you going to do about this now that you don't have a job? It means that now you need to make a plan. How is our life going to shift and move around? Okay? Now, when those indicators come and the labor starts, the transition is now happening. The cervix is now expanding. It's stretching. 1 centimeter, 2 centimeter, you can be laughing, drinking water, smiling at everybody and celebrating that the labor has started. Hallelujah. Finally. Whew, I was waiting for this day, you know. 5 centimeters, you're still smiling. You can even tell your husband, you know, it's wonderful to have this child. 7 centimeters, you need to start focusing. You stop the high fives. Because when that pain comes, when the cervix is expanding, there is pain. There is pain. Right? And that expansion needs to happen. If the expansion is not happening, the nurse will tell you, there's something wrong. Because the expansion needs to happen. It needs to happen to make room for the child to come. 8 centimeters, and you know you feel that pain when it's coming, eh? You feel that pain and you start giving instructions. You start giving instructions to people who are around you. You either say, keep quiet. Don't touch me. Oh, you are making noise. Just shut up. Don't do that. And when the pain subsides, you're like, whew, what was that? Right? Because there's an expansion happening. There's a stretching happening. And that expansion and stretching is inevitable. It needs to happen. Now, many times when we're transitioning, there's pain. Because we're changing from something that we're used to something that we're unfamiliar with. And because of the expansion, because of the stretching, because of the pain, sometimes we want to give up. We want to give up because it's not something we're familiar with. But you know what? The beauty of the next season lies in the expansion. The beauty of the next season lies in the pain. The beauty in the next season lies in you knowing your weaknesses and your strengths. Because when the cervix is expanding, when the cervix is stretching, you actually realize that, I have weaknesses. I have weaknesses. I am not that strong. But finally, the baby crowns. And when it crowns, there's that continuous pain. And you just want to kick the nurse. Because the nurse is telling you things, giving you instructions, and telling you what you need to be doing, but the pain. But in that moment, you realize that there's a strength that God has given you. There's a strength that does not come from you, but it comes from God. Because He sustains your pain. He helps you in that pain. And in that moment, the nurse is saying, push, and you're thinking, the pain, how do I push? Where do I push from? You don't even know what to do, but somehow God gives you the strength. God gives you the strength to push. And you don't know whether you're pushing in or you're pushing out, but somehow you're pushing. And suddenly they tell you, no, the head is out, the head is out, the head is out. And you're thinking, my goodness, the pain is excruciating. But the beauty that comes after the pain. In whatever season you're transitioning into, there is going to be pain guaranteed. Because there's going to be expansion that's happening in your life. There's a stretching that's happening, but you have to embrace the pain. You have to embrace whatever that it's requiring of you to do. Because the moment you fight it, the moment you don't embrace it, you will delay the beauty that comes with the next season. I remember when I was having my first child, the nurse telling me, Edna, why are you fearing? Why are you fearing? I'm like, I don't know, but it's just painful and I'm fearing. I don't know what's going to happen. And she tells me, your fear is delaying the process because it's making your body tense and it's making everything tight. So for this process to happen well, you need to stop fearing. You need to stop fearing. And some of us may be fearing the transition that's happening in your life. It could be that you're so used to the Sunday lunches, but now you need to cut down on the Sunday lunches because the season is changing. And you're fearing, what about the children? What are they going to say? It is time to sit down with them and tell them, hey guys, things have changed around here because of this, and this. And because of that, there's going to be pain. There's going to be a stretching that's going to happen in our home. But that stretching will take us to a new season. And that new season will bring something joyful. Amen. So let's embrace the transition. The next part we're going to look at is embracing. Now that you've transitioned into the new season, are you embracing the season? Now, to embrace is to accept something enthusiastically. To accept something enthusiastically. Let's go back to the sons of Issachar. They were aware of the times. They knew what they needed to do. But if they decided not to be part of it, the transition was still going to take place, right? Even in labor, when you're not embracing what's going on, the expansion will still be happening. The stretching will still be happening. It may take long because you're not really embracing it, but it will still happen. The child will still need to come out some way or the other, whether naturally or they'll have to do a C-section. The child will still need to come out. Now, it's critical to understand the times, but it's even more critical to embrace the season. Because if you choose not to embrace the next season, it does not go away. It will still come. When the planting season comes and you don't plant anything, harvest season still comes. Those that planted will reap, will harvest. You who didn't plant, you will watch. Right? You will watch those that planted. Now I want to give us an example of a man in the Bible who failed to embrace a season. He failed to embrace a season, and because of that, something happened to him. John 5, verse 1 to 10. We'll read it very quickly. Now, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In those lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time, into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, he was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man from there who had an infirmity of 38 years, when Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed. Now this man, we have seen from the scripture that he had this infirmity for 38 years. But the goodness with this man is that he knew where he could get healing. And he went to the place where he knew he could get healing. He went to the right location. He knew what time the angel would come down to stir the water. And he was there. But he stayed at that pool. It doesn't tell us how long, but I'm assuming he stayed there for 38 years as well. Why did he stay there for 38 years? He answered Jesus and he said, "I do not have a man to take me into the pool. I do not have a man." And he says, "While I'm going, another comes and jumps in." This reminds me of the stages of life. This man was mentally a child. He could move. It's not like he couldn't move. He could move. Because as he was going down, another came and stepped into the water. So what this shows us is that this man was waiting for somebody to help him. He was waiting for a man to help him out of his situation. Now he stayed at this pool for 38 years. 38 years he's at this pool with his infirmity. Okay? I'm sure he knew what time the angel would come down. Because 38 years you should have mastered. You should have mastered when the angel comes down, right? You should have known. And those, the new entrants, I'm sure he was even telling them. No, the angel comes at 5 on Tuesdays. In March and in July. If you miss that time, there's also an opportunity maybe in December, Christmas, because it's when the Lord was born. He would tell them. But he himself did not position himself. He did not prepare himself. He didn't do it. But he was at the right location. He knew that this is the place where I could get healing. But he did nothing about it. So Jesus comes around this pool and he finds this man. And he feels sorry for him. And he calls him and he says, he asks him a question. And still this man tells Jesus, no, I have no man. 38 years you are waiting for someone to get you out of your problems. 38 years. Because he could move, you know, he could have positioned himself near the pool. And when he just saw the water being stirred up, thrown himself, be number one. And he would have been healed. But he stayed there. How many of us? How many of us are still in a situation because we're still waiting for somebody to get us out of that situation? How many of us are still where we were 10 years ago? We're still in that situation and we have good reasons for staying there. Very good reasons, right? And if we ask the reasons, all of us, you will actually feel sorry. No, because. Very good reasons. Childlike mentality affects you in the season of life. When you have an opportunity to maximize, you fail because of your reasoning. Because of how you reason, in the season of your life, you fail to take the necessary steps in order for you to make a change for your life. The pool was right next to him, but he couldn't make any move. He couldn't do it himself until Jesus came. Thank God for Jesus. He comes, even when he's not supposed to, but he comes because Jesus is Jesus. He comes and he asks him, why are you still in this state? But he tells him, rise up, get up your bed and go. It's been 38 years for crying out loud. Leave this place, leave it for the new ones. It's been 38 years. Jesus came and rescued this man. And because seasons are cyclical, you're still given an opportunity. You're still given an opportunity over and over and over and over again. If the angel came in a year 4 times, calculate that by 38 years. The opportunities he had for him to throw himself in the pool, and he missed all of them. If you can calculate, I think it's, I don't know. It's just so many times that he missed. But thank God, because seasons keep coming and coming and coming and coming over and over again, God gives us a chance to start all over. Are we going to embrace the chance that he gives us again? What do you need to move, to shift in order for you to embrace the season? What do you need to do? Like we looked when we're transitioning, is that there's pain. Things that you need to sacrifice. Things that you, Maybe you might not need to buy Brazilian that year. It's okay. It's okay. You might need to sacrifice doing nails every month. It's okay to just have natural nails. Are you going to embrace the season in that sense? Or are you going to be kicking and screaming, trying to show all of us like you're still there? If you're married and you still want to act like you're single, it doesn't work. If you want to pretend like you're 5 instead of 25, it doesn't work. If you have a child who's 30 years old and married and still want to treat him like he's single, and you go to his house over and over again to control him, it doesn't work because the season has changed. Embrace the new season that's happening right now. If you're 65 and you want to act like you're 25, when your body is saying right now you need to buy millet, stop eating the sugar, stop eating all of that junk that you're eating because your body has changed, embrace the season. I'm now 42, and when I turned 42, things started changing. I was like, what's going on with this level 4? Just things started shifting around. When I eat starch in the night, inflammation. I can't sleep. And I was telling my husband, I was like, this change of weather in my life is real. And I need to adjust to the foods that I'm eating. If I don't embrace what's happening right now, I will not be sleeping. I'll have insomnia, I'll have all of these things. But it's time to embrace where you are. It's time to embrace. If it requires that you now begin to eat a particular way, let's change. If it requires that you need to start exercising a particular way, let's change. Let's not wait until the sugar knocks on the door, and then that's when you say, there's millet, there's this and that. Know when the season is changing and embrace the season. Embrace the season for your life, because how you fare in the season that you are in, again, it will affect how you will fare in the next season. It will affect your next season. And you don't want your next season to be affected by how you were kicking and screaming in this season right now. Now, there's nothing worse than living out of season when your season has changed. There's nothing worse than living out of season when your season has changed. Know when your season has changed. Women, we need to know when our season has changed. We need to know that. Because you'll be living out of season, and it's dangerous to live out of season. Very dangerous to live out of season. Again, if you want to fare well in your life, you will need to focus and you will need to embrace. Because life has seasons, and you need to embrace the seasons and do all that the season requires of you. Fighting the season will not take it away. Submit to the process. Seek help where you need help. Now, when you're seeking help, you're seeking help as an adult. As an adult who has a plan. As an adult who knows what they need to achieve. As an adult who knows the season they are in. You're not seeking help as a child. You're seeking help as an adult. Now, if you do not know what season you're in, you have no idea what's going on in your life, you don't know what stage of life you're in, you don't know what season you're in, I implore you to pray. This is where prayer comes in. You need to pray. You need to pray. Because prayer is when we invite God into our situations. We need to call upon God, the one who knows it all, the one who knows us, the one who knows what's going on. We need to invite him to come in our situations. Because prayer is a posture of acknowledge weakness. When you acknowledge that you don't know, and you call upon God, and you tell him, I lean on you, not on my own understanding. But I want you, Lord, to help me. To help me. And when you pray, you sharpen your inner knower. You sharpen your inner knower. When you pray, you sharpen your inner knower. When you sharpen your inner knower, you can hear the Spirit leading you. Because your spirit, you as a spirit man, will be quieted and you can hear God speak to you. And some of you might even need to be fasting because there's so much noise in your head going on. And you just need to just quiet your spirit. You need to ask God to quiet your spirit so you can hear Him. Because there's so much noise around. But you need to quiet your spirit. So I'm asking you women to engage into prayer. To engage into prayer. And call upon God who knows it all. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God says, call unto me. Call unto me. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Isaiah 43 and verse 19. Isaiah 43 and verse 19. Where is it? Says that, see that I'm making a new, I'm doing a new thing. Will you not know it? Will you not know it? But how will you know what God is doing if you're not in prayer? How will you know what God is saying in your life right now if you're not in prayer? You need to pray and ask God to help you to see, to find where you are. What season of life are you in right now? It's only in prayer that God will help you to know where you are. Revelation 4 verse 8 says, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. You do not want to be caught up in the who was. Because God said something in the season that you were in. But He's saying something new now. What is He saying now to you? Do you know what He's saying in this season that you are in? He's giving you new instructions because He's a God who was, but He is now who in the who is. Are you hearing Him? What is He saying? What is He instructing you to do right now? Are you so caught up in where He was that you do not know where He is right now? So let's make ourselves available to prayer. Let's make ourselves available to what God is saying now. He's saying something, but are you hearing it? Are you hearing what He is saying right now? And if you're not hearing, I implore you again to pray. To pray for God to show you. God, show me. Show me what season of life I am in so I can fare well. Show me what I ought to be doing right now so I can embrace. Help me, Lord, so I can do well and prosper and thrive and not be caught up in the old season. And not be caught up in the odd season, because God is constantly giving us instructions. Are we following our feelings? Or are we going to take the feelings up to logic? Or are we going to take the logic up to God? It's time to stop logicalizing everything. Because God says, I'm able to do what you are not able to do. I'm able to show you where you are. Where you're stuck, I'm able to show you what you need to do. Are you fighting the season? And if you are fighting the season, it's hard. It's painful. It's stretching you in ways that you don't like. And you want to abort the season. Call upon God. Let Him come and help you through the season. Let Him carry you through the season. He's with you, and you can trust Him. Now, if you're convicted by this, I would like for you to build a discipline around your convictions. Build a discipline around your convictions. Remember the pink papers that we were given? Write your convictions there. Make a plan. Create a system in order for you to do well in the present season that you are in. Because if you don't do it, you won't fare well. And it won't just happen. You need to make a plan towards it. What will I be doing now in order for me to do well in this season that I'm in? You have to make that plan. You have to engage God to help you. It won't just happen, women. It won't just happen. Next year we'll have another Living Free, and you will come back the way you came this year. And you will go back the same if you don't make an action plan to your convictions. You need to make an action plan. It's work to change where you are to where you ought to be. To where you ought to be. John Maxwell says that uphill aspirations need uphill habits. Uphill aspirations with downhill habits won't take you there. You can't have such aspirations, but your habits are with an attitude that doesn't take you to an uphill aspiration. So we need to make a plan. We need to have an action plan for our next season, or for the season that you're in right now. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now I have a few questions for you as we are going to close. These questions I'd like for you to answer them yourself. What season and stage of life are you in right now? And I'd like for you to answer that question. What season and stage of life are you in right now? Remember the stages of life: childhood, adulthood. What season? I don't know what season you're in. Are you in a planting season? Are you in a harvest season? Ooh, harvest season. I want to join your season. Are you in winter? Are you in summer? What season are you in? I'd like for you to figure that out right now. And if you're able to figure that out, then you can go to the next question. What steps are you taking in order to fare well? What steps are you taking in order to fare well in the season that you are in? What steps? And the last question is, what challenges are you facing in it? Because there'll be challenges, but you have to know them. And you have to make a plan around the challenges. Have we answered the questions, women? Do we know what season we're in? What stage of life we're in? And if you're in a childhood stage, it's okay. Because then you will know that you need to grow. And so you will need to find people, books, or whatever, so that you can grow from that stage. So that you can now begin to grow into an adult. An adult that takes responsibility. An adult that also wants to leave a legacy that is training others. Amen. So let's answer those questions. And I'll take it further and say, who has answered and would like to share the first question? Very quickly, those that are bored, they know it's a season of boldness. Anyone who wants to share the first question? Sure. There's a hand here. What season are you in and what stage of life are you in?
Hello. Mine is planting and then I'm the stage of adult.
You're an adult.
Yes,
praise
I
the
am.
Lord. Give her a hand. She's an adult. She takes responsibility. Who can answer the second question? What steps are you taking in order to fare well in the season that you are in? There's a hand. There's a hand behind. Maybe you can come to the front quickly. What steps? We need to take steps. We need to plan for the steps, people. It just won't happen. You know how companies make all those strategic plans? This is a strategic plan for how you fare well in your season.
So I'm planting in the planting season, mm-hmm. But I was a child, mm-hmm. and I came to Rhema.
Amen.
So now I'm an adult.
Okay.
So I'm just awesome. Still with Rhema first year,
mm-hmm.
and so God is still working and He's making things better for me now.
Thanks for being vulnerable, Chama. Thank you so much. It's okay to be a child and knowing that you can grow. Who can answer the last question? What challenges are you facing in the season that you are in? Anybody? Please come to the front quickly. What challenges are you facing? Because again, there are challenges. We can't deny the fact that the challenges will be there. We need to know what they are and we need to make a plan around the challenges. That side, there's a mic there.
Go ahead.
Challenges I'm facing?
Yes.
Commitment and discipline.
Commitment and discipline.
Yes.
Are you going to find someone to be accountable? What's your action plan?
So my action plan is, I've been listening to a lot of teaching on commitment and discipline. I've also taken a step forward to buy a lot of books and read a lot about it.
Right.
Yes, and awesome. It's changing slowly.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. And again, it's about being honest with yourself. It's about being honest with yourself. Then you will move to the next phase that you need to move to. Anyone else who wants to give it a last try? Any of the questions? Now that people have said something. There we go. There is the... You can come up front. Or you can just pass the mic there. Right there.
Hi, everyone. With me, the step that I've taken is stepping back and getting to reflect on how I can go about the situation that I'm in.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's not about me judging people around me. No, but it's about me reflecting to say, what step am I going to take? Is this the right step that I should take? Will it affect maybe the people around me? You know, where people are looking forward to say you're going to, you are always there for them. But now you've taken a step of saying, okay, can I reflect to say, is it about me or about people around me?
Mm, yeah. Awesome. Praise the Lord. A chance for one last person. One last person. And then Morphia, you can come to the front. One last person. There she is. On any of the questions?
The last one, on the challenges.
Yes.
Today is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
I've turned 55, so
awesome.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
On the challenges, where I want to do something, then you get advice from various people. I think that's a challenge I have.
Okay.
So it makes me lose my focus and what
okay.
I want to do. So I've been praying about it. So I've just set my foot down. Girl, you've grown. You are now 55.
Yes. 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 We are grown-ups in this place. Amen. All right, we're just going to take a minute and pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for God to show you what stage and season you're in and what you're going to do about it. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you're showing us what we ought to do in our lives and in the season of life that we're in. We thank you, oh God, that you are faithful according to your word, oh God. That when we call upon you, Father, you're faithful, oh God, to show us great and mighty things, oh God. And so we trust you, oh God, to direct our path. We trust you, oh God, to show us what we need, oh Father, in this season. Thank you, oh Lord, for your word that is true and living and active, oh God. We thank you that Heavenly Father, oh God, what needed, oh God, to be informed in our life has been informed. And we thank you, oh God, that your word, Father, has done that today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Morphia.